Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This team that was 7-9 a year ago, this team that had their optimists hoping for a competitive season to challenge for the NFC East title, won 13 games along the way and overcame the losses of Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Jordan Hicks, Caleb Sturgis, Chris Maragos, and finally Carson Wentz.
Wow.
For the first time in 13 years, the Eagles are headed for the Super Bowl and a rematch with the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52.
E-A-T-L-E-S.
This is a 25-yard field goal attempt for Jake Elliott. Ball is spotted, the kick is up, and the kick is good, and the Eagles lead Super Bowl 52, 3-0. Foles under center. Smith in motion on first down. Foles fakes. He's back. He steps up. He is going deep, and it is caught by Alshon Jeffrey for a touchdown. This is a short field goal attempt, 26-yarder, low snap. They have trouble with it. Still, it's off the goalpost. No good. They had trouble with a low snap. Gostkowski line drives it, and it was off the goalpost. No good. So the Eagles give up nothing. One in the game. First and 10 at the 21. Foles under center. He comes right back to Blunt. Blunt across the 20. Lines up behind Foles. Moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Second and 10. Foles back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep. And is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
Touchdown. It goes all the way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
To a 42-yard attempt for Jake Elliott. Ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's got the distance. And the kick is good. And the Eagles double their lead.
Eagles!
Back goes Foles. Fires. Slant. Touchdown! Zach Ertz. He caught it. He bobbled it. He never let it drop. And he finished with the football.
Brady with White to his right. Brady back again.
He steps up. He's hit. And falls forward. And he fumbles the football. And the Eagles have it. It is recovered by... Barnett.
Here is a 46-yarder to give the Eagles an 8-point lead. Ball is spotted. The kick is away. And the kick is...
Goal!
Eagles by 8. Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone. And it is batted around. And the game is over! The game is over! The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions! Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you! Let the celebration begin!
There's going to be a parade on Broad Street. Hey man, if this is a dream, don't wake me up! We're going to have a parade on Broad Street! Hey, raise up the poles! We're going to have a parade!
The Eagles have won the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
41-33.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
And we welcome you into the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We appreciate Rob Center, our producer of WKOK Sunrise and On the Mark, putting together that really cool postseason montage of highlights with the one and only voice, the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese. We're scheduled to have Merrill join us next hour. at 4:06 here on the show.
Yeah, that'd be good to talk to Merrill. Neil Kuhwong today as well. Let's see. And then how much are they talking about in the Valley?
Yesterday, originally, we were saying 3 to 6. Now it is marked down to 2 to 4 inches, especially places south of Interstate 84. Maybe about this time tomorrow and heading into the evening, we could start to see a flip over from snow to a freezing rain sleet mix. So it could cause even more slippery travel. So maybe that's why now it's 2 to 4 instead of 3 to 6. But we do have the winter storm watch from the National Weather Service. That'll start tomorrow morning right before daybreak and continue into tomorrow evening.
Well, Maryland will be here tonight, so that doesn't affect the game tomorrow. They'll be here tonight. Tomorrow night's game is at 6:30. Tomorrow's also Letter of Intent Day. And they'll be doing a live stream tomorrow from noon to one. I'm sure, they'll probably get some idiot to interview James tomorrow.
Oh, who are they bringing in? I'm just curious. Have you heard?
To interview him?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard.
Okay. If you picked up any new developments on that.
They didn't pick the brightest bulb, but they'll go with him anyway.
Sure, if you knew something I didn't.
The brightest bulb, but they'll have him talk to him. So, maybe we can record it and then we'll play it back later in the show.
Yeah.
Since the idiot they picked is familiar to the audience.
Perfect fit.
Since the person they picked to do this is familiar to the audience, we'll just go that way. Oh, my goodness. So the Olympics start. We're going to have Tony Knopp on the show. They get going on Thursday night. Now, what is Seoul, South Korea? Is it 15 hours ahead of us?
Pretty close. Sounds about right.
Because I know, obviously, my daughter Megan, whose husband is in the Air Force, they're currently stationed in Guam. So I know they're 14 hours ahead. So I know, for example, for them, it's 5:16 in the morning on Wednesday. Well, if Seoul is, and Pyeongchang happens to be, 15 hours ahead, it's 6:16 in the morning there. And, it's going to be another one where everything's on tape. I got it. But at some point, don't you have to recognize it's 2018, it's not 1958? And look, I do know that this formula has worked for the good people at NBC over the years. I know that. I got that. But... and it's not like there's nothing I'm against. I mean, by the way, Anthony Cassar was named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week, of a shocking development. And, we're going to know the results before we watch. And in some ways, it probably helps them a little bit, because what happens is the say an American wins a gold medal or some sort of medal, you're like, hey, I'll watch that. And the packaging they do between 8 and midnight is brilliant. I mean, let's give our just due to the good people at NBC who brilliantly package it. But do you have... Sean, and it, on a letter grade, A, B, C, D, F, what is your level of interest in the Winter Olympics?
Overall, I would probably, because there's so many other sports that they cover that I won't be able to see, I'll go B minus, but there's definitely ones I want to see, like the downhill. The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
Downhill is just awesome.
Yeah, got to watch that. And I would love to watch the ice hockey, but since there's no pro NHL players going to be involved with that, you know, I really have no interest in watching that.
Right.
Maybe some speed skating, maybe. And I would probably, if I watch any of the figure skating, probably like male solo, female solo, just to kind of stay on top of who's in there. Maybe some bobsledding. Keep tabs on our keep tabs on Jason Tuerdeman, see how he go, see how he does.
So you're not going to watch Two Man Luge?
All depends on when it's on. If it's prime time and I happen to have it on and stumble upon it. Oh, by the way, 14-hour time difference between East Coast time and South Korea.
They're the same as Guam. Okay. All right. Same as Guam. You say your interest is a B-. I will say mine is a B to a B+. But I can't take it further than that.
I dropped it to a minus just because of so many other sports that I may not be able to get to watch. But thank goodness for the internet and all the sources that NBC has. It doesn't matter what time of day. You could probably find something that's on live. It just won't be on TV all the time.
But let me put it this way. I think Duke plays North Carolina in basketball on Thursday night. There's no way I'm watching the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics if Duke and North Carolina are playing hoops.
Well, actually, the opening ceremonies takes place Friday, but there will be some events on Thursday. I believe the figure skating starts on Thursday.
No way I'm watching that.
Oh, I
no
would take,
way.
Oh, 10 out of 10, I'd take Duke, Carolina. Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Right.
No, you
and I'm
both.
Sure. Oh, I mean, the opening ceremonies, of course, will be, what you said, on Friday. I'm sure there's a tractor pull on Fox Sports we can watch.
Something.
I mean, there are people marching in behind flags. I mean, I got it.
Right. In alphabetical order.
We can dispute that.
Oh, that's true. I think it starts... don't they start with Greece and then they go in alphabetical order, I guess?
Or something, whatever.
Kind of, sort of.
Now, we know the suit is massively into this. Right? We know that. And that's to each his own, and that's perfectly, perfectly fine. On the scale, he'd be an A to A+. He's been waiting for these 2 weeks since the Rio games ended. I think it'd be fair to say, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But there's no buzz about this. And NBC knows it. Why do you think they took so much of the Super Bowl pregame, which I didn't watch, by the way, I was told. They took a good chunk of the Super Bowl pregame. They're trying to promote the Olympics because they know they're hurting. The Summer Olympics have more glamour and cachet than the Winter Olympics do, yet the Winter Olympics are actually more valuable to NBC as a property because of where they fall. November, February, and May are the sweeps months in TV. When are the Winter Olympics? February. So that's what makes them so valuable. But what's really turned me off is the total bidding process on this and cities getting fleeced and countries getting fleeced as you try to do this. And you've got more and more people not bidding on it. And it's just, you know, it's, and then they're making up sports. You're like, oh, we're doing what? they give away medals in that? Really? Okay. Fordham is playing Rhode Island in basketball. I think I'll watch that.
There you go.
I don't know a player in either team, but I think I'll watch. All right, we'll take a break. Now, I thought I presented the suit's stance in the Olympics fairly, don't you?
Yeah, very accurate. A+ as to how much he will watch, absolutely.
Yeah.
He will try to soak in every waking minute of every waking hour of every waking day for the next 2.5+ weeks to watch as much as he possibly can. He'll have multiple devices cooking in the living room so he can, you know, hopscotch from event to event. That's how he rolls.
Multiple sales excuses built in. I wanted to sell them digital media, but snowboarding was on. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Yeah, the coaches were putting out who their workout warriors were this morning, by the way. The first of the winter workouts took place today. Will Fries got some recognition from Matt Linegrover. Jake Cooper from Brent Pry. Terry Smith, Amani Oruwariye. Let's see. David Corley with Juwan Johnson. Ricky Ronnie fell. All the quarterbacks did well. And Daniel Joseph with Sean Spencer. And Jawan Sider talked about Jonathan Thomas. That were some of the workout leaders this morning. So there you go. That's now that's the next part that's happening. And tomorrow's letter of intent day. We will have Ryan Snyder on the show tomorrow, by the way. So Ryan Snyder will join us on the show tomorrow.
New dad, Ryan Snyder. Nice.
Yeah, yes. So from Blue White Illustrated and Rivals to talk about the late signing period. So we will have that taken care of tomorrow. And I think we'll be able to record an interview that the person on the radio station who's not the suit will be talking with Coach Franklin. Even though there were several requests that it be the suit.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool.
Oh, no. They really did. And then he told me he had to go sell digital media, and that they said, well, okay, we'll go with the second option.
Okay. Yeah. The one day he was busy. Oh, well.
I finally have a meeting.
Well, you know, he's got to get them all in before they light the torch, you know?
Yeah.
He's got her all mapped out.
Oh, I'm sure he does. How frightening. And he just told me last week he dove full bore into the stock market. All right, so
just in time for the swoon. Timing.
Our timing says it's at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sue was just bragging to you and me last week that he was doing so well he got into the stock market. Have you heard from him today at all? Or
I did before lunch. Nonstop Olympic conversation. No talk about his current stats in the portfolio, ironically enough.
I can imagine.
Wonder why.
Nonstop Olympic conversation. You know, every town has one. All right. We're having a little trouble finding the one here in my town here, but that's all right. This day in sports history, the Yankees issued a press release to announce the purchase of 10 acres of property in the West Bronx in 1921. The land was used to build the first Yankee Stadium. Today it's a park, and they have outlined where the stadium was and the infield and so forth. 1926, the NFL adopted a rule that made players ineligible for competition until their college class had graduated. 1932, dog sled racing happened for the first time in Olympic competition. You know, I say bring that back. What do you think? I say bring that back. Olympic dog sled racing. I'd watch that. What about you?
I mean, you could use the Iditarod as a qualifier, right?
Sure, why not?
Because I can't think of any other dog race that's as huge as that one. So.
That's right. 1958, Ted Williams signed a contract with the Red Sox worth $135,000 a year, biggest contract in baseball at that time. 1970, the NBA expanded to 18 teams. They added Buffalo, Cleveland, Portland, and San Diego. San Diego Rockets spent 1 year there, then went to Houston. Portland Trailblazers still there. Cleveland Cavaliers still there. The Buffalo Braves are now the Los Angeles Clippers. Aren't you glad I'm here to clean that stuff up? No. And in 2005, the Patriots beat the Eagles 24-21 in the Super Bowl. All's forgiven now, isn't it? Whistle a happy tune. With that, we bring in Neil Coulong, USA Today. Hello, Neil.
Yeah, I'm going to have that tune in my head all day anyway, so I may as well start whistling it.
Exactly.
I don't think I could whistle it, but I always give it a shot.
Neil, all right, you watched the game played out. Is that the new norm in the NFL?
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking that this morning, just kind of going over everything. It was like a year that saw poor quarterback play from half the league. A lot of injuries contributed to that, but it really kind of seemed like this year was a step toward the return of power running and, you know, having teams that didn't have to have a dominant quarterback be successful. Yet we saw, without question, the best dual quarterback performance in Super Bowl history, and it's not even close. I mean, I don't think I'm not even sure what would compare with it, but it's not going to be anything like that. I mean, really, the two blemishes, one turnover for each guy, one was a huge defensive play on the part of the Eagles, and the other one was just a tip pass that landed in the arms of a hustling defender on an aggressive throw down the field. It really was a long punt more than anything else. For neither defense to make an impact for the vast majority of that game, and for it to come down to one play like that, it's so like 3 years ago. So it really kind of makes you wonder, where is the direction of the NFL right now? Are we needing to have, teams needing a quarterback to have like a 110 plus rating to win 12-13 games? Or are we really going to see a much more team-centered approach, which I think we saw a lot of in the Super Bowl? Maybe not individuals rushing as much, but team rushing, team receiving. I mean, the Patriots receivers lit it up, and that was without Brandon Cooks. Really just not at all the game that I expected it to be, but one that I think we'll be talking about for a while.
Is it the kind of game that you think the NFL needs to have, or is there a different formula you think that attracts fans?
I think if we're looking at the traditional formula of the NFL, that certainly fits right in line. You've got the superpower versus the upstart with the mad crazy fan base. You've got the from nowhere quarterback going up against the king of the NFL, and to have them both going blow for blow throughout the course of the game, I thought it made great drama. I was interested to see that the ratings were down a bit, so it kind of does make you wonder, is that formula kind of accepted now? Do we expect this from the NFL, therefore it's not really all that interesting? I remember talking to you before the season in that another Patriots run to the Super Bowl, another Super Bowl championship, I think will probably undermine the league more than anything else, just because it's getting stale. It's kind of the same thing over and over. And you really saw a completely one-dimensional Patriots team led by the best player in the history of the game put up maybe his best Super Bowl performance and lose somehow. So it adds a little bit of flavor to it, but a lot of it is kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, I'm not sure where fans are going to land on this next year, but you're going to have a lot of the quarterbacks back that you didn't have. So I think with the Eagles winning, there's kind of a sense of invigoration that the fans are going to have. But, you know, they're going to speak through their viewing habits, and it'll be a while until we kind of see the real impact from this current season into next year.
All right, which then brings us to where the Steelers fit into all this. I feel over the last 18 years, no two franchises have kept themselves relevant better than the Patriots and the Steelers have. But there's also got to be a window here at some point, you know, and people are wondering where the window is for the Patriots. Where's the window for the Steelers right now?
I think it's going to get more narrow simply because that's the nature of the NFL, I guess, for everybody except for the Patriots. You can't stay on top for all that long of a time. The better players you get, the more you have to pay them, the more the salary cap becomes an issue, the more you have to kind of start over. That's the circle of life in the NFL. You know, everyone except for the Patriots is pretty much immune to that. The Steelers are going to run into that issue, and we're going to have to find out this season how they want to address their future. And the huge question is, what are you going to do with Le'Veon Bell? The reports that we hear it really kind of centers around the idea that the team is willing to make him an offer, and Bell is willing to listen, which I kind of thought was, you know, we were past that point. Maybe it's just the two sides sort of, you know, feeling each other out, see what they can come up with. But I don't see a typical traditional Steelers front office offering a player that big of a contract twice. I really just don't see that. I think that they've always kind of wanted to, you know, deal with what they have in front of them and not go chasing players, whether they want to be there or not. Le'Veon Bell rejected a pretty significant contract. I understand the reasons why he did it, but a team like the Steelers, they're not going to make that offer again. They're not going to increase their offer from last year, and tagging him would be disastrous. I mean, they have to do a ton of stuff to their current roster just to fit him under the cap if they were to tag him. So they're at a crossroads. I'm not sure if Bell is going to be there or not. And you look at a guy that had, what, 400-plus touches last year. You take that off of your offense, who are you? Do you really even know what that is? And keep in mind, you've got a familiar coach, but a new offensive coordinator. It's a lot of change that they're going to have to kind of undergo. To some degree, I think that's a good thing, considering what happened to them last year. But transition is not the easiest thing in the world to deal with, and it takes leadership. And I'm not entirely sure how great the level of leadership the Steelers currently have is.
What do you think of the offensive coordinator?
I think he's the guy that I would imagine Roethlisberger would have wanted in that position. So that said, they have a lot of talent on offense. They're going to need to do new things, but the continuity that they have is going to be very valuable to them. I don't think there's a whole lot that Fichtner is going to have to do to reinvent the wheel here. I think they have a good sense of what they're good at, what they can do, and they certainly have a lot of star power even without Le'Veon Bell. So you've got, you know, your same offensive line is going to come back most likely next season. At worst, you lose your left guard, somebody that you can replace with the guy who's been there for the last couple years already, you know, in Chris Hubbard. So I don't think they have a whole lot of question marks in terms of what Fichtner is going to do. But I do think change is a good thing at the coordinator position. You have to change stuff up. That's just the reality of the NFL. So with that, he's got a very good opportunity in front of him. In fact, probably one of the best new offensive coordinator positions in the league this year would have been the Steelers, simply because of what they already have in place. Now, the question is, how much do they really want to tinker with? How much control does he want to give Ben? How well will Ben handle all of that? Those are fair questions, but I expect it to change a whole lot. They've got a good thing going for him. A few tweaks here and there, but I wouldn't look at it much more beyond that.
All right, so now the next part will be the combine. Then after that, it'll be free agency. Obviously, the Steelers have to do this around a cap number, and they've done a good job with the cap number over the years. But what are a couple items in free agency you'd like to see addressed before they even get to finishing it out with a draft?
You know, I think they need talent. They need depth. Fortunately for them this year, that didn't become a problem late in the season the way that it has the last couple of years. But at the same time, the last couple of years, they won playoff games. So the fact that they didn't now only shows that, you know, what you have just wasn't good enough. I think defensively, they don't have any – they lack star quality. They don't have playmaking defensive players, with the exception of Ryan Shazier. And I'm going to go off on a limb and just guess that he's not going to play next season. Without that, you have no explosion on defense. And defense clearly is an issue of theirs. For me, what I would like, and they've done this a couple times in the past, certainly coming off of disappointing seasons where maybe they felt the leadership and the grit wasn't quite there, I'd love to see them go out and find a veteran who wants to chase a ring on a very good team, who's known for leadership, the shock caller in the locker room type, somebody that everyone's going to listen to. He's able to command attention. That type of player, if there's a guy like that out there,
a Chris Long kind of guy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Somebody that they can bring in. Doesn't have to be a starter. He can be a role player, but somebody that's going to command a stronger presence in the locker room. Because, frankly, I think that's what it boiled down to. I don't think that Le'Veon Bell's intentions were bad. I don't think Mike Mitchell's intentions were bad when they said what they said leading into the playoffs. But if you have a disciplined group, you don't have that many people sending that many different messages to the media. You know, not to use the Patriots as the end-all, be-all of everything, but all of them say the exact same thing. They're disciplined. They're well-rehearsed. They're well-trained. And you see the product on the field. With the Steelers, you honestly didn't know which team was going to show up game after game. And that season could have been a lot worse than 13-3. You know, a couple breaks here and there, right. And a lot of those games, they might be 9-7 for all we know. I think they need to get back to a stronger core group of leaders. And I think they need to find somebody from the outside to do that.
Interesting. In the off season, what does the league need? Now, look, the Super Bowl ratings are down in part because the ratings overall were down. I mean, the Super Bowl ratings reflected the season. They lost people that did not come back. How interested were you that Fox ended up with the Thursday night package? And not only that, but Roger Goodell got more money out of Fox than he was getting out of CBS and NBC combined.
You know, I'll tail that into a different conversation I have with a couple other people regarding the salary cap. I think the moves, at least the suggestion that the Steelers could either sign Le'Veon Bell to an extension, or keep in mind, he's not under contract right now, and they're only about $10 million under the cap. So with that, if they're going to tag him, which is $14.5 million, you got to come up with a lot of money if you're going to have any flexibility at all in free agency going into the rest of the offseason. Seems to me like maybe they knew this Fox deal was coming. Maybe there's more money that they're going to infuse into the cap for the 2018 season. And with that, maybe that cap number is going to go higher than the typically accepted $179 million that it's at right now. So I think there is some value to Fox. You probably paid a bit more than, say, CBS. And certainly if they wanted to go like the Amazon or Yahoo route, like they were talking about, just have a pure digital-only product, I think – there's financial value, obviously, to the league in that, but I think it affects the salary cap in such a way that we're about to see what could be the most explosive free agency period in NFL history. There are a lot of teams with a ton of cap room. It's extremely rare, if not just flat out, you know, impossible for a quarterback the likes of Kirk Cousins, and I know that he's not the greatest thing on you know, the field that we've ever seen, but he's going to command a gigantic contract. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to command a gigantic contract if they don't tag him. All of this is going to have a ripple down effect. It's going to bleed into free agency. I think there's going to be a lot of activity. To me, a big part of that is going to stem from the fact that Fox picked up the Thursday night deal. Obviously, it's a brand that they're familiar with, that they've worked with for a long time. And I think it could be, kind of a catalyst to a big spending free agency period.
And then that brings me to the rules. Now, obviously, the catch rules won. Is anything else that you're looking at that they need to do that can make the game better?
Yeah, they can fix the catch rule. They can fix the catch rule, and they can fix the catch rule. Yeah. I don't think they even need an off-season agenda, to be honest with you. That's right. the clear issue, to a point where the best part of the Super Bowl to me was the fact that the officials let the game be played the way it should be played. I really didn't see a whole lot of penalties, and there weren't a whole lot of calls.
First of all, there were not a single pass interference flag in the game.
How nice is that?
I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's a free-flowing football game. Imagine that. You know, it clearly they put them under orders to not really call a whole lot, and I'm fine with that. The fact that the officials were right on top of both of those touchdowns, they made the call on the field, they reviewed it, they stuck with the call on the field. They didn't try to create more out of it than it needed to be. They might have looked at it a little bit longer than I would have wanted them to, but
yes.
The fact they stuck with both of those calls, those were touchdowns. I don't care what the rule says. You know that the spirit overall, those were touchdowns. The game ultimately would have been tainted had they overturned either one of those, in my opinion. I'm not just saying it because I was kind of pulling for the Eagles. Those were football touchdowns.
Yeah.
Growing up, nobody would have said that those were not touchdowns. They should have been. They ruled it correctly, and everyone could walk away from that game thinking the players decided the outcome. There was no controversy. I mean, it was amazing. That was the best part of the season for me. That's how bad the issue got, in my opinion.
To me, replay is there to take care of the egregious obvious error, and it is not there to be perfect.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And why? Because he can't. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to get better than good, in my opinion. But at the same time, why even fight that battle? Why do you want to try to die on that hill? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Really, Instant Replay was set up initially saying, if 50 guys in the bar agree that this call should be overturned, that's when you overturn it. If not, who cares? Just go with the call on the field. It doesn't need to be this big of a part of the game, because what happened is they ran into situation upon situation in which they found out the rules that they currently have don't cover this particular situation. So because of that, that's when you create things like the Calvin Johnson rule.
Right.
Now, these weren't quality issues to the game, but they couldn't address it because of what they were seeing on replay. It's like, well, just don't look at replay then. He won't have these problems. Nobody's really going to care if that's a overturned as a touchdown. Should have been a catch. Everyone knows that that's a catch. Should have been a catch.
In fact, that'll be the next step. Next year, they're going to go to 50 guys in a bar.
I'm fine with that. I'll even be one of them.
All in favor of a catch.
That's fine.
All in favor of a catch. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. Exactly. We'll go with that. That works perfectly to me. The game continues to flow, and we don't have to create the controversy inside of the game itself. Now we can just watch football and enjoy football for what it is. You know, that's really what this is about. In my opinion, there are a bunch of different factors, including just societal change, of why people watched less football. I wouldn't say that I'm worried about it or alarmed about it or anything. I think the NFL's numbers had nowhere to go but down. But
right.
As far as the things that they can control and they should control, just make us want to watch the game again. Make sure we don't have officiating controversy, not at a, you know, I think that was pass interference level, but from a regulatory level. Make sure that that's not in the headline the next day, okay? We just want to talk about football. I'm not saying that in a sense that, society has more topics of conversation and players are going to get more involved with that. I just mean I want to watch two teams compete on the field in the game of football. I don't want to see the officials be a part of it. I think it less of that controversy makes the product more exciting and makes you want to watch more of it. And I think we saw that in the Super Bowl.
Neil, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. Merrill Reese, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You are listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world at WKOK.com.